Welcome to the Steady Hand Podcast. I'm Tom Bradley, and our topic today is the Steady Hand Small Cap Equity Fund. I'm joined by Will Witherich, the manager of the fund. Will's out west here on a research trip, and we've managed to grab him to get a few insights into the fund. Welcome, Will.
Thank you, Tom.
Will, it's been a good year for the fund. How would you characterize the performance of the companies you own and then the fund overall?
Well, I think good in a single word. We've had reasonably good performance without perhaps having the same resource exposure many other funds have had out there. And I keep coming back to this over the years, in that we have to be extremely careful with, comfortable with the names that we invest in. And I'd have to say that in the vast majority of the names we own in the portfolio, I'm extremely comfortable with their performance, their outlook. I would say the fund was driven by good fundamental performance. We've seen great earnings results over the last number of quarters from most of the names in the portfolio. So there are always one or two softer sets of results that might come out from time to time. But by and large, there's been good fundamental performance, which I think has ultimately driven good overall performance of the portfolio.
Now, Will, we're going to dig into a few sectors over the course of this podcast, but in general, how comfortable you are with valuations today?
In general, I'd have to say the portfolio is more expensive than we've seen it over the course of the prior 3 or 4 years. We've had good appreciation in the portfolio, even though, as I said earlier, we've had good fundamental improvement in most of the names. I'd say for the first time in some time, I could say that the portfolio is by no means expensive, but some of the stocks have maybe run ahead of that fundamental improvement.
In that light, Will, you've trimmed some star performers, and we're now seeing the cash levels creep up. I think we were just talking before we did this, around 13% of the portfolio is cash today. Now, is that earmarked for some particular investments, or is it more of a tactical move?
Well, I never try and hold cash in the portfolio to somehow manage the overall performance of the portfolio. I never try to exaggerate cash when I think things are perhaps a little overpriced, and have minimal cash when things are perhaps underpriced. No, it's really a function of individual opportunities. Do I find enough good individual opportunities for me to invest in? If not, I'd rather own the cash than just go out and buy something and potentially do that stupidly. So yes, we're at about 13.5% cash now. In fact, that number will rise as a result of Badger Daylighting being subject to a takeover offer. So that'll generate about another 5 or 5.5% waiting there. My hope is, frankly, that I develop two or three, and then frankly, I'm close on two or three individual opportunities that can soak up most of that cash. And there are still one or two or three interesting names already in the portfolio that we might add to as well. So between those two initiatives, I think we'll be using up some of the cash in the next few months.
Well, let's discuss the resource sector. The mining and oil companies have been the high flyers over the last couple of years. Now, you've been very clear with us. You've been selective in these sectors. How about a little bit of an update of where your thinking is today?
Tom, again, I never try and make the big picture call. I guess I buy the idea of a super cycle. It's happening. It's been happening for a number of years now. But I don't buy it at any price. And if I look at individual companies, since I'm very much a bottoms-up stock picker, and believe me, I look at lots of stuff that comes across my desk in the junior mining space, both gold or base metal, and the valuations don't make a lot of sense to me. We do own one gold name right now, Primero Mining. We own other companies in the portfolio that have significant exposure, direct or indirect, to the mining space. Canadian Helicopters would be an example, because they would fly helicopters to supply mining camps in the north and in the bush, et cetera, be it oil and gas or base metal or gold. In Canada, it's hard to escape exposure to mining. It's important to us in general, but specific names in the portfolio I tend to shy away from, because when I look at the numbers, at least on first blush, they look generally very expensive to me, and I'm one who is never willing to extrapolate from the top of the curve. I think a lot of money rushes into these sectors, and sometimes for extended periods of time, without any real discretion when it comes to valuation. I'm very valuation oriented. So the preference in the portfolio is to stick with companies that are free cash flow generators that I'm comfortable with owning through thick and thin, through good times and bad. Because frankly, these are the companies that will survive a downturn in the stock market, whereas many of the junior mining names require the stock market to finance their activities. So again, you're not likely to see a big exposure to base metal or gold names. A single gold name that we do own in the portfolio, Primero Mining, frankly fits many of the characteristics I like to see in any company we own. They are a free cash flow generator. That is, they generate cash after all of their needs, capital spending or debt or repayment schedules, etc., and can continue to operate their mine at even substantially lower gold prices. There is one boogeyman that vis-a-vis Primero that I have to pay attention to, and that's their subjectivity to the high price of silver these days. They have a special contract worked out where they deliver the silver to Silver Wheaton, who gets to sell it at world spot prices, which are currently around $37. And regardless of that, they only receive $4 themselves for that silver. And they pay taxes based on the spot market that Silver Wheaton, in fact, sells it for. So there's a huge cash tax liability associated with the company. That being said, unless silver goes to much, much higher levels, they continue to generate free cash flow. So here's a company capable of growing, I think, through mostly through thick and thin, other than a huge setback in gold prices, which has a reasonable balance sheet, a fairly strong management team, and good overall production and reserve growth prospects ahead of them. So it's a name that we like in the space, and I don't think is your typical resource name.
And how about in the oil and gas sector, Will? You know, you made some good money in two Colombian oil stocks, Gran Tierra and Pacific Rubiales, but you've sold both of those positions now. Are you seeing any opportunities in Canada or elsewhere?
Good question, Tom. You're right. I guess we were lucky enough to have made very good money in Gran Tierra, Pacific Rubiales. Sold them, I think bought them at the right time, and frankly sold them at the right time. Both of those stocks have either plateaued or even come back a little bit from our sell price levels. Both good companies, and Colombia continues to offer great, I think, investment opportunities, not without risk, clearly. I think revolutionary activity, rebel activity has increased there again recently, and that's going to hurt them somewhat. But again, I think it's fertile ground for further investment opportunities, I think, in the future. Otherwise, I always tend to like the international juniors. I find that they frequently offer a much lower price point to get much higher production and reserve growth rates capability. Coastal Energy is a more recent example of something we've added to the portfolio. In Canada, we have a little specialty name, I would call it Palliser Oil and Gas, where they're just really exploiting a very small niche of heavy oil that flows to the well bore under by using something they call high volume lift. So here's a sort of a specialty Canadian oil and gas production situation. Most Canadian names I tend to think of as still being expensive. We monitor them closely, but I can't say that I have too many good opportunities there right now.
Moving on from resources, and I think you and I probably both wish the markets would move on from resources once in a while. How would you characterize the positioning of the rest of the fund right now?
Well, I like it. I like it. I mean, I don't think of it monolithically like the fund. You know, I look at them as individual stories, and I'm very happy with, I would say, virtually all of the other stories in the portfolio, but beyond the resource names we've just talked about. I'm a story-driven individual where if I'm captivated by an interesting story that is a company with a good management team, that has a with a good balance sheet, that seems to have a niche that they can profitably exploit over and over and over again and generate the kind of free cash flow and a high return on capital that I like to see, then I'll take a hard look at it and we'll own it. So I think there's a good balance of opportunities across a wide variety of industry groups in the balance of the portfolio that I think should hold us in very good stead this year and coming years.
Now, Will, you've been visiting a few companies out here, ones we own, and I know there's ones that you're not going to talk about that you're looking at prospectively. But any interesting observations or insights you've seen from the teams or the managements so far?
Well, two names that have been in the portfolio for some time that we're visiting on this trip are McDonald Detweiler and Glacier Media. McDonald Detweiler has done extremely well for us. They've pretty much delivered on everything they said they would and perhaps even more. And they've sold off a big portion of themselves recently, basically their real estate-related division. And they're currently sitting on $800 or $900 million of cash, no net debt beyond that. So I'd love to see that cash paid out in a special dividend. But I suspect, though they've instigated the dividend, which has a, currently about a 2% yield, we may see that perhaps maintained or increased over time. They'll likely retain the cash for other opportunities. One of them is a kind of a satellite servicing business. And so they're actually hoping to, I think they have the technology to be able to service satellites currently in orbit. That could become a growth opportunity for them. And also knowing these guys are probably looking at some interesting acquisitions as well that might deploy some of that cash. Glacier Media, it's been a longer standing name in the portfolio, which continues to move along, though not at a terribly fast pace, at least a reasonable pace. And they've not only shown that they can survive through a media downturn, that they can in fact thrive. And I think the last number of quarters have shown that their business model has been fairly robust. And my recent experience with management indicates that that continues to be the case.
Well, and finally, this is of utmost importance, Will. Our respective hockey teams are looking pretty good these days, heading into the postseason. Do you think the Habs have a chance of meeting the Canucks in the finals?
I'd love to see the Montreal Canadiens beat the Vancouver Canucks in the finals. Yes, Tom.
Very diplomatically put. Thanks for your time, Will. This has been great. I know you've got a busy schedule, but I think our listeners appreciate hearing you live and getting some of the insights on your different holdings. Also, thank you to the listeners for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for future podcasts. We'll make them available as they come up, both on our website and on iTunes.